Welcome to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk 1150 AM. We're here today with a show full of interesting news and information and sort of bizarre things out in the pet world. And we're also going to talk today about separation anxiety. Hi, Eric.
Hey, Julie. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
You know, our theme song talks about riding around in the breeze. And you know how we usually start the show saying, what a great day to take your dog for a walk. I think you'll be riding around in the breeze today if you're out there doing that.
Yeah, the leaves on the tree are like sideways right now. Yeah. But about a half an hour ago,
it was gorgeous.
Sunny.
Yeah. So well, make hay while the sun shines.
That's spring for
you. Message. Yeah.
It is a beautiful day to take your dog for a walk. If you haven't done so yet, I recommend you do so today, even if it's raining. Unless it's my dachshund, Leia. She hates the rain. She'd probably prefer to stay under covers on a day like this. But
Me too.
Yeah.
Curl up in a ball, you know,
the
chew toy.
Eric, we've had guests.
Speaking of chew toys.
Yeah. We've had lots of wonderful guests for the past several weeks, actually. And we don't have a special guest interview today, but there is so much to talk about in the news. I have this Barbie doll, actually, which we'll talk about.
Which is why
bit.
I said, speaking of chew toys, but you went in a different direction than I was thinking.
I glanced at her over there thinking the same thing.
Right, but the listeners don't know that.
Right.
So you said, you know, we've had all these wonderful guests, and I said, speaking of chew toys, which makes no sense now. But that, since you alluded to the Barbie thing.
Yes. Well, yes.
Just want to clear that up.
So you might be thinking, Barbie, what does Barbie have to do with dogs? Well, I'll tell you in a little bit. There is actually a connection. A very bizarre connection.
Aside from making a good chew toy.
Yeah. Right off the bat, time is running out to register for the Prison Pet Partnership Program's Bark and Bid charity auction, which is this Saturday, May 22nd, from 4 to 7 p.m. at the Afifi Shriners Center in Tacoma. So Darcy and I are going to that, and there is still room. And so you can go to prisonpetpartnership.org and register to go to that event. It's a fabulous program. They provide education for women offenders as far as dog training, dog grooming, and boarding. And they train service dogs at the Women's Washington Correction Center for Women here in Purdy, Washington. It's an amazing program. It helps dogs and people on a number of levels. It's just so inspiring, and we've had the opportunity to actually visit the program and talk with the women inmates about their experiences training dogs and what they've learned while they're there. So their big annual fundraiser is this Saturday in Tacoma, 4 to 7 p.m., you can get in touch with me if you want more information or if you'd like to join us at our table. Otherwise, you can register through prisonpetpartnership.org, and that info is also on the Dog Talk Show website as well. And that's the Bark and Bid this Saturday. Should be fun. It's $40 per person. It includes light supper. There is a cash bar and a charity auction with a lot of really awesome things that they are auctioning off. We had Beth Rivard on the show last week, the executive director of the program. She was telling us a little bit about that. I have the Washington Pet Gazette here with me today. The website is wapetgazette.com, and it's a free publication. It looks like a little newspaper, and you can find it at most places where you would be there for anything pet-related, basically, pet stores and feed stores and all that type of thing. It's a great resource for local businesses as well as pets who are in need of homes. There's some great adoption dogs featured and cats in the issue, and there's also some great articles here, too. And that is, again, www.wapetgazette.com. And the mission is to contribute to creating a loving, safe, and nurturing environment for all pets in the Northwest, which I think is wonderful. They have some great articles in this the current publication, as well as a calendar of events. So check that out, the Pet Gazette. You'll see it looks like a little newspaper, and it's for free. So we've had some pretty bizarre topics on the show before, Eric.
Mm-hmm.
The pet chastity belt.
I remember it well, yes.
Yes. The dog washing machine, which I can't stand.
Right, right.
I have a link to that on the Dog Talk Show website from a few weeks back. There's a video, and I think it was in Japan, mm-hmm. but they're actually putting a dog into something that looks like a washing machine and closing it for a half an hour.
Luckily, it doesn't spin like
no.
your average.
I can't. It gives me the creeps. It's just weird. That's weird. And then there was something else that was bizarre before the pet chastity belt, but I can't remember it. I know we've had there were dog poop calendars, dog poop ornaments.
We talked about the dresses for your dog, like ballroom dresses at one point.
Yeah. Very fancy dresses. Well, I've come across a couple other things. One thing that I actually own, it was given to me as a gift, which I brought in for us to play with during the next segment. But there's an article, it's kind of in the news recently, that there is a pit bull that needs Viagra to live.
I heard about this. Yeah.
Yes. Her name is Ingrid, and she is in a shelter in New York. And she was rescued from a dog fighting establishment. It says that she was used as a bait dog. Mm-hmm. And in addition to that, Ingrid was diagnosed with heartworm and a severe heart condition that needed immediate regulation to keep her alive. The veterinarian suggested that Viagra was a solution because Viagra opens up the blocked vessels that go to the heart, so it allows the blood to flow through the body. So this is actually, and it's working. So she takes 2 Viagra twice a day, and it keeps her heart condition in check. And I don't know, I guess it's a good thing she's not a male dog, because who knows? I mean, I don't know if that would have an impact.
It would have an impact. Maybe just not in the way that you would want it to.
Yeah. So anyway, they're looking for Viagra donations. So, you know, if anyone out there has some extra lying around, they can send some to Ingrid, the pit bull, who takes it for her heart condition.
So viva Viagra, as they say.
That's all we need.
And viva Ingrid.
Yeah, that's all we need now is Viagra commercials targeting the pet community, because right. we get enough emails about that. And if you're interested in adopting Ingrid, you can call the number that's listed on the article. I've posted a link to the article on the Dog Talk Show website, so you can read the full article and even see a little video of Ingrid, the pill-popping pit bull who needs Viagra to live. It's from NBC New York Online article. But yeah, very interesting. You just never know out there.
Ask your veterinarian.
Ask your veterinarian if Viagra can help your dog.
If Viagra is right for you. Side effects may include.
Mm-hmm. Just a reminder.
Itching, barking, panting. Sorry.
Side effects. Yeah, God. I read a testimonial a few weeks ago about Blue, the standard poodle, who is a mental health service dog that graduated from Darcy's training program. She's the owner of Healing Allies. And there is an article, a really wonderful article on the Seattle Kennel Club website, actually about Blue. I read a testimonial written by Blue's new owner, on the show a little while ago, and posted it on the website. There's actually a really wonderful longer article about Blue's owner and her story with Blue, as well as some other people looking for a mental health assistance dog. But if you go to the Seattle Kennel Club website, which is www.seattlekennelclub.org, right at the top, right under the banner, Seattle Kennel Club, at the top there is an article, and you can see Blue and his owner on the picture, and it says mental health assistance dogs opening new doors for some, and then you can click on read the full story. And it's about Blue's story and the success that he and his owner are having, and as well as some other people too. Really wonderful article, so I recommend you go check that out. SeattleKennelClub.org, right at the top. You can't miss it. He's a wonderful dog. And just really, really helping out his owner in just, it's just such magic. So check that out. And today we are going to be talking about separation anxiety a little bit later on. If you have any questions about your dog, whether it's a quirky behavior or obedience training or anything like that, dog related, even if I don't know the answer, I know someone who does. So feel free to give us a call. We'd love to answer your question on air today. 425-373-5527. Again, that's 425-373-5527 or toll free in Western Washington, 888-298-5569. My expertise is in dog training, behavior, and food. But even if it's a kind of a random question, would love to have you throw it out there and see what I think. And if, like I said, if I don't know the answer, I know who does. So give us a call if you have any questions. Otherwise, I'm going to shed some light on this new Barbie that has to do with dogs. Very interesting, kind of weird, and funny. I have it in the studio, so Eric, we can play with it, and also talk about separation anxiety and an interesting article about a woman who was fined for picking up the wrong dog poop on the ground. So stay tuned. We'll be back in just a few minutes with the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
Hiya, Bobby.
Hi, Cam.
You want to go for a ride?
Sure, Cam.
Jump in.
Do you have an injury, old or new, that won't heal? Are you fighting a cold or illness you can't kick? Do you feel like you've tried everything and are still struggling to find wellness and balance in your physical health? Have you been unimpressed with acupuncture in the past? For over a decade, Robert Meduzia has been making a difference for people who thought they had exhausted their options. Don't settle for pain and illness. Call 425-828-6190. That's 425-828-6190. Again, 425-828-6190. The Acupuncture and Sports Clinic of Kirkland. Heal faster, play longer.
Picking up dog or cat poop is a necessary pet owner's ritual. Plastic poop bags put in the trash end up in landfills, produce methane gas, and contaminate our hard-to-get clean water. Bokashi Cycle's Pet Cycle fermenting system provides a simple, sustainable solution to a growing problem. Pet waste is safely and rapidly transformed into a product that restores nutrients and microbes to the soil. Pet Cycle is an easy and natural system you can use at home to end polluting. Visit www.bokashicycle.com or call 1-800-714-2130 to order your pet cycle system today.
This is Martha Norwalk. Every Sunday morning, beginning at 9 a.m., thanks in part to Jones & Company Pets in Marysville, we cover the world of living successfully with your animal friends. This week, it's a Kim Sunday. Kim Miller, medium and animal intuitive, will join us in the studio. Kim is extremely gifted psychic, very accurate, and gives lots of details, and can help you talk with your animal or human loved ones on this side or here. Plan to give us a call on Martha Norwalk's Animal World, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist, and owner of Sensitive Dog, thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a two-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's Dog Behavior Training and Nutrition Specialist. www.sensitivedog.com.
Some people know a good thing when they hear it. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. And we're back here with very good call with that song, Eric.
Thanks. I was inspired by the prop that you brought into the show
today.
Well,
it's an inspiring prop, that's for sure. You know, I got this a couple years ago, and I just kind of forgot about it. Uh-huh. And I saved it because it's so weird that I just couldn't throw it away, and it is dog-related. But
we're bringing out our inner 11-year-old girl today.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Well, there is a Barbie doll. They've finally done it, Eric. There is a Barbie with a dog, uh-huh. And Barbie scoops the dog's poop and then puts it in the trash bin. But the weird thing is that the dog... I don't know. I mean, I'm an adult now. And I used to, you know, when I was little, I did have a Barbie phase where I would play with Barbies. So this one, it's a dog, and it's a, looks like a yellow lab. The dog's name is Tanner, and it's a girl.
Hmm.
And there's these little pellets that look like a brown, look like a.
And you know it's a girl by the pink leash.
Yes.
And collar.
And otherwise.
Oh. Well, with that logic, Ken could be a girl.
True. there's these little brown pellets that look almost exactly like a Tic Tac.
Uh-huh.
And they're magnetic. And the dog, if you push the dog's tail up. Now, I've put a picture of this on the website so you can get a visual. Dogtalkshow.com. It's on the homepage. You lift up the dog's tail and the mouth opens.
Mm-hmm.
And then you put the pellet, you feed the dog the pellet, and it slides down. And then you lift up the tail. Now watch. Oh.
And it's a Tic Tac dispenser.
And it's a Tic Tac dispenser out of the dog's rear.
Yeah.
So it eats and then poops.
There you go.
And then there's a purple.
It's processed.
Yeah. There's a purple pooper scooper that Barbie holds, and then being the responsible pet owner that she is.
Well, that's good that they teach people about cleaning, curbing their dog.
Yes. She will pick up the poop and then dispense it into the...
You're dispensing it somewhere else.
into the trash bin.
Well, see, now all she needs is a little pink Bokashi bucket. And then she could be a really responsible dog.
We are on the same page, Eric. That's what I want to see next is the Bokashi Barbie. So she has her own pet waste fermentation system.
Right.
And I want to see Barbie putting her dog's waste into the Bokashi cycle. And then I want to see her digging a hole in her yard and pouring it into the soil, adding nitrogen and microbes into the depleted soil.
We can only hope that the Mattel executives are tuned in this week as usual because, I think clearly Tanner here needs to switch to a better diet. If it's not even being digested, it just comes out the same as it goes
in.
I think
filler.
It's a good metaphor for many of the dog foods available on the market today.
I think that I hope that Barbie switches Tanner to the natural pet pantry.
Yes.
I'm concerned about the volume of poop that the dog is producing and how little of it is being really absorbed into the body.
Right.
I'm also concerned about the amount of pet waste that Barbie's throwing out every week.
Good
which
points.
Is why I recommend the Bokashi cycle.
That's right.
So who knows? I mean, that's really the next step, is Barbie getting her shovel and pail and lawn and then digging a hole.
Now,
a little dirty.
Is this her gig, or just she's just having fun with her dog Tanner? Is because she's had a lot of jobs over the years.
No, it's not.
She can't hold down a career.
Yeah.
Or maybe she's got ADD and she just can't pay attention to a career long enough. But I mean, you know, she's been a doctor and a nurse.
Was
she even an astronaut at some point?
Probably.
You got to be committed at some point to go through all the schooling to do each one of these gigs.
It's amazing.
Once she tries it out, time to move on.
You know, she doesn't seem to really age over the years either, which is amazing. Nor can she stand up on her own. So I don't know how she'd be a very good dog walker.
Well, that's what Tanner's for, to help stabilize her.
Yeah. No, I don't think this is professional dog walker Barbie.
All right.
Or Barbie working for Pooper Trooper, you know, scooping pet waste for people. I think this is Barbie's
just having fun
personal dog.
You know, part of the dream house.
And it includes toys, a rope toy, looks like a rawhide bone, which of course we don't recommend because rawhide is not digestible. Maybe another reason why Tanner's pooping so much and Barbie's having to pick it up.
Maybe we can get him some little plastic antlers.
Yes. Antlers are great. Marrow bones and bully sticks. So, you know, there's a lot to learn out there. And, you know, maybe Barbie will give me a call and we can talk about pet food and Tanner's nutrition. That's Barbie/Tanner. And like I said, the picture is on the website.
Yeah.
I'm not making this up.
And if Barbie is listening, we'd love to hear from her at 425-373-5527 or toll-free in Western Washington at 888-298-KKNW. That's 888-298-5569. And she can pose her questions about Tanner to you, Julie.
Yeah. And if your dog also is pooping a lot, then you can give us a call, too, and we can talk about maybe what your dog is eating. So, yeah, it's the whole set here, and you can order your own. I don't really know how much kids want to just play with,
I would think this
poop,
would not be recommended for the real younger kids. This
no,
would be
it's
probably
not.
10 or above, because I imagine the droppings from Tanner probably be a choking hazard.
Well, I'm concerned about Tanner's coprophagia, which is also known as poop eating.
Yeah, so that's bad, too.
Yeah. It's actually recommended for children ages 3 and up.
Really?
But there are small parts,
yeah,
like these tic-tac-shaped things and the little toys, so there is a choking hazard there. But
I would hold off on the poop/food ballots if I got that for a little kid.
Wait until your child is old enough to really enjoy the activity of scooping Barbie's dog's poop.
And the irony.
Yes. So anyway, that's just funny. I've hung on to this. I'm actually pretty glad that I didn't throw it out because it's kind of a collector's item, I guess. Although now the package is open since I've played with it here, but
totally devalued.
Anyway, I guess that's not how I'm going to make my million selling this Barbie pooper scooper on eBay.
Still mint condition, though.
Well, yeah. Not a figurative. Well, yeah. Anyway. So there is an interesting story, too, about a woman who was fined for scooping the wrong poop. And there is actually, on this article, there's a picture of this Barbie thing, and it says, would Barbie ever scoop the wrong poop from her dog? Probably not. There's a 60-year-old woman in England who was talking on her cell phone, and when her dog scooted off to poop, she said that after she cleaned it up, two officials came up to her and said she'd picked up the wrong poop and gave her a ticket.
What?
For about $75.
That's crazy.
She said, I picked up the other mess too and put it in the bag, but he said that she would still be fined. Pam Robson told the BBC. She later received a notice threatening a court action and a possible criminal record if she didn't pay. Felt like the worst kind of bullying. She ended up working with a member of parliament and an attorney before the city dropped the errant droppings charges. Now, good for her for picking up any dog's poop in the first place, but it is interesting because, like, I was just out with a client the other day and her dog pooped and we went and got a bag. and came back. And then there were like a number of droppings. And we were at first trying to look at which one was her own dog's poop. And then, you know, I often just pick up the other ones too, because I'm at, you know. But can you imagine being fined for picking up the wrong poop? I mean, that just seems like board officials to me.
Yeah, that's nuts.
I mean, there's got to be better things to do in law enforcement than fining people for picking up the wrong poop.
I would have just said, this ticket is a load of dog droppings. You can pick this
up, right,
mister. And then I would have been quickly thrown into the paddy wagon and taken away. But the had my say.
The article says, I don't know about you, but my dog's calling card doesn't really have a calling card on it. If he happens to poop in a spot where someone has left an orphan poop and I've got my head round the other way to give him his required privacy, it may take me a couple of seconds to figure out which one is his, especially if the other is a recent addition as well. I've never heard of anyone being fined for scooping the wrong poop. This one is on Dogster, if you want to check out this article in its entirety. And see the same Barbie image that's on the website, the Dog Talk Show website as well. You can check that out too. It's amazing what you'll get fined for. Fortunately, this was not in the U.S., but I wouldn't be surprised. When we come back, I'm going to share a story about a client and the dog's separation anxiety, and talk about this topic because it is a very common behavioral issue that people experience with their dogs. Shelter dogs and dogs that have been raised since puppyhood alike. So stay tuned. We'll be back in just a few minutes with the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
You gotta keep them separated.
Exceptional Mountain View property is now available just 90 minutes north of Seattle. Come see for yourself the expansive south-facing views of Whitehorse Glacier as you stand on the banks of the North Fork of the Stillaguamish River, a steelhead and eagle paradise. This 5-acre riverfront property is yours to build on or just to enjoy year-round. Call Vaughn Provo with Preview Properties at 425-359-0165 or on the web at vaughnprovo.com.
I'm Joy Turner, host of Talk With Your Animals, the show that lets you talk with your animals Wednesdays at 3 p.m. As a medium, I talk with your companions live on air to find the answers to the questions you want to ask. Call in and ask about health, behavior, transitions in life, or anything else. Even talk with animals who have crossed over. Animals have wonderful things to say. Join us for a fun-filled and inspiring hour Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Talk With Your Animals with Joy Turner, the show you and your animal companions are going to love.
Does it break your heart to see your dog limping, not feeling well, anxious, or nervous? You know something is wrong, but you're unable to find any answers. Animal healing expert Vicki Draper combines her intuitive connection, her healing gift of touch, and her extensive training to serve you and your pet. Vicki performs both local and distant sessions, providing you with her services from both near and far. Clients have reported Vicki saving them hundreds, even thousands of dollars. Contact Vicki Draper at www.vimeire.com. That's V-I-M-I-E-R-E.com.
Camley Electric Incorporated is a full-service electrical contractor. From simple home repairs to full remodels, new construction, and small commercial projects, our qualified electricians do it all. We pride ourselves on our workmanship and professional standards, delivered with value in mind. Located in historic Ballard, Kemley Electric serves the greater Seattle metropolitan area. Licensed, bonded, and insured, Kemley Electric welcomes all inquiries about your electrical needs. Visit the website KemleyElectric.com. That's K-E-M-L-Y Electric.com.
Following the herd is fine until they lead you off a cliff. Think for yourself. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Separated. Hey! Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. We're going to talk about separation anxiety, which is a very common problem for dogs and their people. And it's a tricky one to work through. This is the case with most dog training and behavior, is that you always have to approach each dog and human as an individual. because everybody's different, just like people. All dogs are different too. And there may be different causes to the problem. Different dogs respond differently to, you know, various training methods. So you really have to approach each dog situation, you know, with an individual point of view and really find out what's going on. What is the root of the problem? Why is the dog feeling the anxiety? Sometimes dogs feel it as just kind of like a habit that's developed or a creation of how we as humans are interacting with them. Obviously not intentionally, but sometimes what we intuitively do as people doesn't really translate with dogs. So, you know, let's say somebody gets a puppy and then the puppy shows anxiety and starts whining or, you know, howling in the kennel. And then what our instincts tell us to do as people is to try to comfort them. Well, for a dog, comforting looks pretty much the same as praise. So in our attempt to comfort the dog out of the anxiety, actually what we can do is reinforce it and even make it worse. So that is a big one. If your dog is experiencing separation anxiety or anxiety or aggression or any undesirable behavior, be careful that you're not trying to comfort them out of it, because that is one of the biggest disconnects between people and dogs, is that idea of comforting. Dogs don't do that to each other. They don't understand it. So you can actually make the behavior worse as in your attempts in trying to solve it. The thing, too, that can be frustrating for people is that, you know, in the case of the dog that I'm working with currently, is that, you know, she's had the dog. It's two dogs, but the one really has the anxiety, the younger one. They're 4 and 6 years old. They are Coton de Tulier breed. It looks kind of like a tall or leggier Havanese breed originated from France. Little dog, very cute. And the one, the younger dog, is having anxiety. Anytime she leaves the house or leaves the car or ties the dogs out, like, for instance, outside of a coffee shop to go in and get a cup of coffee and then come right back out after a few minutes and continue on their walk. Well, the dog is howling and whining and, you know, getting all worked up. And all she's doing is going in and getting coffee and coming back. So for us as people, it's like, why are you so upset? And it can be frustrating because we can't just tell them, you don't need to be upset. I mean, Eric, if I left the booth, you know, during a break and you started to get upset and started to show anxiety, I could come back and say, Eric, you know, or next time, Eric, I'm coming back in just a few minutes. There's no need to be anxious. So just relax and I'll be back. And you would say, okay, I get that. And then you'd be fine. Hopefully.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd say we have about 2 minutes left in the break, Julie, so make it quick.
Right. So, but you can't do that to dogs. Dogs are not verbal communicators. Right. Talk, 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 talk. So, all right. Well, that makes us then learn how to communicate to the dogs in a way that the dogs understand. And with dogs, it's about feeling. And it's, you know, if you think of anxiety, you know, it often becomes a trigger. So, you know, we tie the dog out, go into the coffee shop. As soon as you disappear, that's the trigger. The dog starts to whine, howl, show anxiety. And then, you know, oftentimes people don't know what to do to interrupt the behavior. So then the person comes back. And then oftentimes, in addition to that, coming back while the dog is whining, we come back and then try to comfort them. It's okay. You're okay. I'm back. And trying to reassure them. But really what that's doing is just kind of feeding into the behavior. So what for, and again, all dogs are different. So I really recommend if you are dealing with separation anxiety, you know, you can go online or you can get books, you can read all sorts of different articles and, you know, get everybody's different perspectives on what to do and what you should do and what you shouldn't do and all that. And it can be tough. You can work through it by yourself, but if you've tried a bunch of things and it's still not working, then I definitely recommend that you get professional help. And if you live in the greater Seattle area, you can give me a call and I can help you too. My phone number is 206-372-7399. Website is sensitivedog.com. You can always reach me too through this show, host@dogtalkshow.com. And, we can go from there. But here's some tips for that. What typically works and what we don't typically think to do is to actually interrupt the behavior. What we want to do is comfort the dogs. And what that looks like is, we get all soft and we comfort and we hold them and we pet them and all that kind of stuff. Or we try to distract them. But what is working with Rusty, the dog that I'm currently working with, is one, you have to be patient because it takes time. For any people out there who have had anxiety, it's not easy to work through. So it's not easy for dogs either, and it takes time. You're not necessarily going to see significant progress after even a few days of really consistently working on this. You have to be patient. And really be confident. That's why it's important to be confident that what you're doing will work, so that it's easier to be patient and committed and consistent. But let's say your dog has some anxiety when they're being tied out and you go into like a coffee shop or something like that. What has worked for Rusty and what will work for other dogs too, not every dog, but a lot of other dogs, is you go out, you go into the shop, and the dog starts whining and barking and howling and sort of carrying on. As soon as that anxiety comes up, it's important for the owner to come back and interrupt the anxiety. Tell the dog no and give some form of correction that just stops the behavior, gets the dog's attention, and engages the brain. So in Rusty's case, it's just a matter of going out and giving a little tug with the leash, saying no, flat, firm no, walking away. So it lets the dog know, if what you want is for me to come out, if I come out as a result of your whining and barking and carrying on, this is what you're going to get. This is the, the cause and effect of this situation. And it's a calm, firm correction. We're not trying to scare the dogs. We're not trying to hurt the dogs, intimidate them or punish them or anything like that. It's just a correction, and it's necessary to interrupt the behavior. Another form of correction that can work well, like for howling in a kennel to interrupt the behavior, if the dog doesn't stop on their own, is like a squirt bottle. Just has water in it, and you squirt the dog with the word no at the same time. So again, it's cause and effect. The dog starts to howl in the crate. I don't want to be in this kennel. Especially if it's like the type of barking and howling where the dog is like, you get over here and let me out, as opposed to like anxiety, because that can be the case for sure, is where the dog's just kind of having a tantrum. You want to let them know that that is never going to work. The last thing you want to do is go over, do you need to go out, or and let the dog out of the kennel, because then you're letting the dog know this that works.
Yeah,
I'll throw a tantrum. You'll come out, either give me attention or let me out of the kennel, or basically give me what I want. Now, with corrections for this type of behavior, it's important that you're not reinforcing the behavior with negative attention. So there is a difference between coming out, like let's say the dog starts to whine and bark and howl, and then what the owner does is go out and shout at the dog, even angrily, to be quiet, and then leaves. Well, just like with kids, negative attention is better than being ignored. I'd rather you scream at me than me be lonely and ignored. At least I'm getting your attention. At least I'm getting interaction. Same thing like with a dog being in a kennel. Dog is in the kennel, let's say, for example, in the kennel downstairs, and people are up in their bedrooms upstairs trying to go to sleep. Dog starts to howl and bark, and you've tried to wait it out, because sometimes they'll just stop on your own. So you want to kind of see if they're going to do that. Try to wait it out even for, 20 minutes to a half an hour. Get earplugs or whatever you need to do. If the dog can't just get over it on their own and let it go, then they need us to interrupt the behavior. But if you come down there and say the dog's name, buddy, be quiet, or just come down and yell at the dog, quiet or shut up or whatever it is, you're actually reinforcing the behavior. And we don't want to throw that anger at the dogs either. So it's important that if you're going to address a behavior like that, that you are effectively negating the behavior calmly, firmly, and confidently, and consistently. Consistency is so important as well. So you come down, no, flat, firm, no, and then something with that that gets the dog's attention, like a squirt with a squirt bottle. And then you walk away, and that's all the dog gets as a result of that behavior. So then the dog's like, okay. And then the dog's quiet for a little while, and then maybe they start whining. In Rusty's case, what he'll do is that'll kind of calm him down, and then he'll sit there. And then after several seconds, he'll kind of start whining a little bit, and then it'll kind of start escalating, and then he'll start vocalizing. And then at that point, we walk out, no, and then leave. And after a few repetitions of this, he will calm down. And actually calm down. I mean, it's not the vocalization as much as it is really the anxiety that we're trying to cure. So, you know, putting like a bark collar on the dog is just being a Band-Aid for the vocalization. It's not dealing with the anxiety. So I don't generally recommend, you know, a Band-Aid solution, like getting rid of the symptom. We really want to get at the root and at the cause of the anxiety and get the dog more comfortable. I want the dog to be comfortable left alone and feel secure. And so that's where that structure comes in, and it actually leaves dogs feeling calmer, more secure. You're establishing your leadership, control of the interaction, etc. Big distinction of reinforcing with negative attention versus effectively negating a behavior with a correction. It's a very important distinction. And any time that we are using correction, since it is not a pleasant experience, we're not trying to hurt the dogs or be, you know, mean or anything like that, but we are basically setting boundaries, which they need. Just like people, boundaries are healthy. There's nothing wrong with setting boundaries. And it seems like a lot of times people aren't comfortable with setting boundaries. And I can see that kind of play out in their relationships with their dogs as well. It is okay to have some distance and to set some boundaries. So we are going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll talk more about separation anxiety and also another funny story about another client. You're listening to The Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
The Natural Pet Pantry offers everything you need for feeding your pet a raw food diet. Most health issues pets face today are a result of poor diet. The Natural Pet Pantry makes raw, cooked, and custom meals for your pets, all prepared locally using only grade A meats and vegetables. Located in stores around the Puget Sound, the home delivery is available from Stanwood to Gig Harbor. Visit naturalpetpantry.com or call 206-248-1079 for more information on how to add health and longevity to your beloved pet's life. That's naturalpetpantry.com.
This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist and owner of Sensitive Dog, thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a two-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's dog behavior training and nutrition specialist. www.sensitivedog.com.
Newlywed Radio, every Saturday at 11 a.m., is your source for the latest in wedding and fashion trends. I'm Gail O'Donnell.
And I'm Greg Louder. Together, we bring over 30 years of wedding experience to you, our soon-to-be-wed listeners.
We interview the best in the business to help you plan your perfect day. From trendsetters to traditions, we bring you tips, seasoned advice, and tons of inspiration to make your fantasy wedding a reality.
Join us every Saturday at 11 a.m. for Nearly Wed Radio, right here on Alternative Talk, 1150 a.m.
More choices, more topics, more shows. One station. Alternative Talk, 1150 a.m.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. What great lyrics for dog training. How did I become so obnoxious? What is it with you that makes me act like this?
No pink.
No pink.
Squirt, squirt.
That song is by Pink, by the way. I love that song. So it is true. You know, a lot of times if a dog has a behavior, what we do actually reinforces it or causes it. In some cases. So, you know, dog training is a lot of people training and it's constant self-evaluation. So you're always looking at what am I doing that is having the dog either be successful or unsuccessful? What am I doing that's reinforcing this behavior? And, you know, when we talk about separation anxiety, there's a focus oftentimes on the leaving. The dog gets anxiety when I leave, but they also display anxiety and a general imbalance when we return. So it's important, too, that we act in a way that helps the dogs feel more comfortable, confident, and secure upon our departure and our arrival back home. So if the dog gets overly excited, like oftentimes if dogs have separation anxiety or show any type of anxiety when we leave, they also get really overly excited when we return, and we also don't want to reinforce this. So it's important, and this can be hard for people to do because it's not really our first choice, but to really sort of set up some distance between you and the dog when you return. And it's not necessarily physical distance, more so energetic and emotional distance where we're not feeding into, oh, hi, baby. It's so good to see you. I missed you so much. You know, all this type of stuff, which really a lot of us want to do because that's how we feel. But if the dog isn't comfortable with being left alone, that will reinforce the behavior. So, you know, in Rusty's situation, the dog that I've been talking about specifically, when his owner leaves him, he gets anxious. And when he comes back, he's also not balanced. I mean, it's not like we're asking the dogs to not be happy to see us or to be like, oh, did you come home? I didn't notice. I mean, we're not asking them to do that. That would be weird. But we are, you know, it's a matter of it being excessive to the point where it's not healthy. So in order to work the dog away from that, we have to role model for them. And it's all about how it feels. So you want to sort of convey the feeling to the dog. It's not a big deal that I'm back. It's not a big deal that I'm leaving. And it's not a big deal that I'm back. Don't let the dog jump up on you. Actually set physical boundaries with space. You know, what Rusty would do would sort of bounce up and down and jump up and, you know, be all kind of needy and all over his owner when she returned. And, you know, not addressing that behavior is kind of, you know, half of it. So what we were working on, too, as part of our repetition of tying him out, going into the coffee shop, watching him through a window. And then as soon as he starts to show some, you know, vocalization anxiety, coming out and just interrupting the behavior, negating the behavior calmly and firmly. No, some form of correction, whether it's a quick tug with the leash or squirt with a squirt bottle or something like that that's actually happening with the word no. The other thing that we were doing is that once Rusty was calm and not vocalizing and really displaying a lot of anxiety but still tied out, is we would walk back and then just stand in his space. But I would have her work on him keeping off and ignoring him. So the only addressing that he was getting was if he was jumping on her, she would just sort of bump him off of her with her knee and tell him no, off, and just ignore him. And we would just sort of, you know, carry on in a conversation. And what that's doing is showing him not a big deal. It's not a big deal that I'm back. You're tied out. You're fine. Don't worry about it. We can't say those words to the dogs, though, to communicate that. We have to act it. We have to feel it. We have to give our energy that's like that to them and do it through our actions. And that's, you know, the biggest thing with just communicating with dogs and other animals, too, is really understanding how they perceive nonverbal communication, because that is their first language. They're not verbal. You know, dogs have the capacity of learning hundreds of words. It's not that they can't learn words, but especially when we're talking about behavior and behavioral issues, it's all comes down to communication in order to educate. And so the best way to educate an animal is to speak their first language. And in the dog's case, it's nonverbal communication. So we come back, we stand out there. If he jumps on her, she sort of bumps him off. No, keep off. Creating some space between him and her. And then once he kind of calms down, then we go back inside. Then if he starts whining and carrying on, she walks out sort of abruptly, but calmly, no, with a correction, and then walks back inside. And then he's like, okay, calms down a little bit, maybe starts whining again. She goes back out, repeats that until he's calm and quiet. And once he's calmed down and he feels like he's more comfortable, that's when we go out and we untie him and then continue on. And so what we were doing and what we have been doing is repeating this. So we go tie him out, go in and do this in and out thing, and then go and stand there and keep him off and go back in and, you know, do this, what I've all just described. Then once he's calm, we go untie him, and then walk around the block and tie him back up again and repeat it. And so it really takes a lot of repetition, and it's kind of labor intensive, but that's what it takes, because it's really through action. We have to communicate them and create a consistent environment where they feel differently, so that he's not just, every time I get tied out, I feel anxious, it never gets resolved, then we leave the situation and I leave anxious. Because what the sort of like taste in his mouth, so to speak, is that of anxiety. So then the next time he gets tied out, he's just going to go right back where he left off. So it's important to figure out a way to work the dog through it, get them calm, then complete the interaction, and then repeat it. And you repeat it and repeat it and repeat it. Now we're going back to the same coffee shop every time to get him comfortable with that one spot. Then once we get him to where he's consistently comfortable in that one spot, then we can try to, you know, move him to another location and work through that and get him good in that location after lots of repetition. And then once he's good with that location, now he's got two places where he's comfortable. Then we add on a third one. But it's important, too, to kind of keep the environment as controlled as you can, so that every time you go back, you know, whether you do it a few times within one session or and you're doing it daily, that you're always returning to the same spot, so that there is as little change as possible in the environment. Because then you're kind of working against yourself if you're just going to a new spot every time, because it's every time it's going to be like, oh, a new spot, I'm not comfortable. You know, there's lots of things to look at with separation anxiety. And like I said, you know, every dog is different. There's different reasons for it. Maybe it's just a habit. Maybe it's actually caused by a traumatic incident. Dogs are different. Temperaments are different. Different dogs respond to different methods. And you also want to look at it from a holistic approach. Food can cause anxiety. You know, these highly processed foods with lots of grain and carbohydrate, processed foods, low quality, ingredients, byproducts, artificial preservatives, et cetera, actually cause anxiety and behavioral issues and a general imbalance. And I'm working with another dog right now who, she's a riot. I absolutely adore this dog.
Is her name Tanner?
No, it's not Tanner. It's not Barbie's dog. Her name is Lang Lang, and she's a wire fox terrier. She's 8 years old, and I don't have enough time to get into what she's doing now, but she is a riot and she's really funny. But one of the things that, you know, out of our initial lesson was that, you know, she's eating a unhealthy brand of food with lots of grain and byproducts. And I will not mention any names, but it rhymes with murena. byproducts, corn, that type of thing. High grain, it's not what dogs are meant to eat. And out of the first lesson, before we started the intensive training, I had her switch to the natural pet pantry. The dog loves it. And she said her friends have actually commented on how the dog is just sort of calmer. And this was before even the training started. So you're always looking at food, medical conditions, hormonal imbalances, all this type of stuff. If you want some more individual help with that and you live in the greater Seattle area, you can give me a call or email me, 206-372-7399, host@dogtalkshow.com. And my website is sensitivedog.com. If you've missed any past shows, you can find us on iTunes. Just go to iTunes, search for The Dog Talk Show with Julie Forbes, and all of our past shows, they've been like 65 of them now, are all up on iTunes. You can subscribe to the podcast for free and listen to all of our wonderful shows and guest interviews. We will be back next Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. live here on Alternative Talk, 1150 a.m. Thanks so much for listening and have a great week.